Hear the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. O God of peace, you have taught us that in returning in rest we shall be saved, in quietness and confidence we shall possess our souls. Now, by the might of your Spirit, lift us into your presence, that we may be still and know that you are God. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Barbara was a success in life and in finding herself. She was a devoted wife of David and mother of three children, Cheryl, Debbie, and Jack. Barbara did a lot of volunteer work over her productive years, including the McKay Library in North Chelmsford for 4.5 years, the Reuben Hoare Library in Littleton for 4.5 years, and 1 year at the Red Cross in Lowell. She also did volunteer work at the Elderly Nutrition Program in Westford for over 5 years. She worked at the LaValle Machine and Tool Company in Westford for 1.5 years doing office work. Additionally, she sold Fuller Brush for almost 20 years and sold Avon products for many years as well. She accomplished many things, and certainly you are here to remember her. And we certainly thank you for coming out and being of support to the family. This morning I'd like to read several passages of scripture taken from the Psalms and then a couple from the New Testament. We find the psalmist writing in the 90th Psalm, and he says, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you ever had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of your hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it." And then in the 46th Psalm, the psalmist again writes, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried away into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." And then in Psalm 121, again the psalmist writes and talks about where he gathers his strength. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade upon your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." We're now going to listen to a second hymn. This time it is The Old Rugged Cross. as we look over into the New Testament, we find John writing in the book of Revelation, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And then Paul writes to the church in Corinth and says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." We're never really ready for the death of a loved one or a friend. It never comes easily, and it certainly does not come without many emotions and many feelings. Each one of you is here today because in some way you knew Barbara. You are here because she was a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a great-grandmother, or perhaps just a friend. Whatever that relationship was, you are here because she meant something to you. So as you come with your feelings, as you come with your emotions, you come with your experiences, you come with your love. And certainly at a time like this, when each of us faces the death of a friend or a loved one, sometimes our emotions and our feelings get a little confused. And sometimes it may be hard to put all of that in perspective in the light of her death. Death brings out some strange feelings. And sometimes we wonder, perhaps the feelings we're expressing are what we might say are normal. And I would say to you this morning that certainly your feelings and your emotions are very normal, because these are given to you by God. They are God-given, and certainly not by chance, but truly by design. Those feelings that you have, I would say to you this morning, remember, they are God-given, and they are there for a reason, and that reason is that you may be healed of some of the pain that you are feeling and loss that you are feeling right now. Those feelings, that pain that you have, are certainly healing qualities that eventually will come with time. Fortunately, God has given us something more than just our feelings and our emotions. If that's all we had, we would probably be lost. We would be in a very sad state. But God has given to us also memories. Memories cannot be taken away from you. And each one of you here today has some memories, or many memories, or one memory of your relationship with Barbara. They are there for you to keep. You do not have to lose those. And I am quite sure this morning that there are no two of you here this morning that would mention the same thing. There are probably some things that you would mention that would have a lot of laughter, There are some things that you might mention and feel that would bring sadness because you shared these events together. Barbara had a very difficult life with many struggles, and she worked hard to overcome those issues. She was a resilient person, being able to bounce back from some of the psychological issues that she had. She was a determined person. Good trait. If she set her mind on something, she worked hard to accomplish it. And the family shared with me yesterday about how they were able to have a home in Westford. They were in Billerica. They found a piece of land in Westford that was for sale, and Barbara needed to somehow get there. She was able to convince a taxi driver to drive her out to look at that property without charging her. Not only once, but twice. Personally, I would like to know how she did that, because that might be something worthwhile knowing. They bought that land. The family bought a house, a kit, and put it together themselves and built their own home so that they would have a place to live there in Westford. They also shared another story, more on a humorous note, even though I thought that taxi story was priceless, about when she would go out to dinner to the Longhorn. She would order a meal, get halfway through it, and then tell the waitress that she didn't like it and that she wanted salmon. But she would keep the baked potato that came with the meat. The salmon would come, and she would say, "I'm not hungry now. You can take that back." Some humor, which is very good. They also told me one other thing that I could really identify with, and that was that she liked to eat dessert first. And my wife has always wanted to eat dessert first. And maybe now I will tell her she should go ahead and do that. You come here with your feelings. You come here with your memories. And certainly, as each one of you recount those experiences, remember that it is our relationships with others by which we learn and grow as human beings. And I am quite sure that she was able to share with you a lot of things. This morning, some of you may want to say some things about Barbara, and we're going to give you that opportunity to do so. Her grandson Josh is going to come and share some things now.
Well, there's so many good things that we can say about my grandma. She's the kind of person who would speak her mind no matter what was on it. She loved to talk about the ozone layer, satellite dishes, politics, and anything else that she felt like she could talk about. For the last few years, I got to spend a lot of time with her. I really got to realize how funny and interesting she was. As you know, she did a lot of volunteer work, and she loved to help others. The one thing I remember most is when I would go visit, she always wanted me to bring lifesavers and batteries. Because we all know how many flashlights she had. Another thing that she loved to do was give Grandpa a hard time. And who knows why, because we all know he's a saint.
Anyone else want to say something?
I'm not much of talking, but... She was kind of a rock to the family. As the minister said, when we wanted a house, she wanted a house. Somehow it was determined she was going to have it. We got it. And all the children pitched in, helped. I just remember one instant where we were putting the insulation up in the attic. And I'd made a patent, you know, and Jack, he was about probably 9 years old at the time, maybe 10. He would roll out the insulation and cut it and hand it up to me. You know, and I mean, that's something to be proud of, you know. And then painting the house, we all painted it, everybody pitched in. It was just a family thing, you know. So, you know, we got all good memories. And when I said she was the rock, well, you can look at all my children, and they got a little piece of that rock. Including myself, I got a little piece too. A little weak right now, but I look at my grandchildren, and I see a little piece of that rock there too. I mean, Miss Josh, she got up here and spoke. I never thought I'd ever do it like I do right now, but it was a great life. We didn't have a hell of a lot, but we sure had a hell of a lot of fun. You know? We just made our own fun. So, thanks everybody for coming. God bless you all.
Was and is an indomitable spirit. She had a very difficult childhood. Her father died when she was 8, her mother when she was 12. She was raised by an aunt who already had her hands full with 2 other children. She was in her own apartment when she was 16 years old, supporting herself, going to school, and she was a good student. She played violin, and she was very talented, so talented that 40 years after picking up the violin and putting it down when she was a teenager, she picked up my daughter Maria's violin and played it like it was yesterday that she had taken her last lesson. Unfortunately, she met my father, and, and he got her pregnant at 16. And again, at 18. Well, anyway, they had 3 kids by the time she was 21, which is never a good idea, kids. Contraception. This is what happens when you don't use it. By the time she was 25, she had a nervous breakdown. She had an alcoholic husband and 3 hellions. We loved her dearly. She played piano. She sang to us. We used to watch black and white TV. We missed her when she left us the first time. She was in a mental institution, one or another. for probably 7 years of my childhood. In theirs too. We lived with my paternal grandparents who were very supportive of us. And when my mother got out, thank God for psychotropic drugs, whatever the right word is, Steve, she was a new woman. And we built a house and we made a family. And she taught us how to stretch a dollar. And who can forget stuffed hot dogs and Arabian pork chops, a fancy name for really tough pork chops. we had steak every Saturday night, which I complained about, and my dad said, well, you should be damn lucky you get beef. Work hard for that. She was a wonderful mother when she could be. She couldn't always be there for us. She tried, but she couldn't. She had good years in her 30s, her 40s, her 50s, and most of the way through her 60s. She had her meds adjusted periodically, but she lost her only sibling. He committed suicide when she was in her 30s, and that was a very difficult time for her. But she bounced back. She did Jack LaLanne almost every freaking day for 40 years. She did yoga. She looked a word up in the dictionary every day for at least 30 or 40 years. She had an excellent vocabulary. Even though she didn't graduate from college or high school even, she was an intelligent, brilliant woman. She saw things that other people couldn't see. Sometimes we thought they were a little stretched, but... Maybe the ozone layer is falling. I haven't ruled that out. And if you could bounce with her and roll with the punches, nobody could make you laugh more or cry harder. And now is the time to put aside all the hard feelings for the birthdays that she couldn't make, Cheryl. For the weddings she couldn't make. It's time to let it go. She couldn't always be there for us. We had to go to the psychiatric ward of a hospital on the day Tom and I got married so she could see us in our wedding outfits. And that was okay, because you accept my mom, if you could accept her within what she was capable of, she was a just wonderful person. I spent a good 5 years looking for the perfect pocketbook for my mother. Then we cleaned out her place. And hey, well, I bet there were 10 pocketbooks, and I probably have 10 more in my closet because I couldn't return them. She'd always say, yes, I like it, take off the tag, and then, okay. Finally, about 2 weeks before she died, I measured her pocketbook. I said, give me the details. It had to be real leather. It had to be just so. And I found a $90 pocketbook. I would never spend $90 for a pocketbook. I did get it on sale for $60, and I gave it to her when she was in the nursing home.
You learned that, Deb.
Right. And so, anyway, she got the perfect pocketbook just before she died, and I feel really complete there. And I guess in summary, a week before she died, she told me she wanted me to buy her falsies. And I think if you think about my mom, and you realize she was still living to the very end, she still wanted to be attractive. She still wanted to look good and feel good about herself. And I think she knew she was dying, and she had lost 20 pounds in the last 6 months, or 30 in the last year. Those of us like Dad and Josh and I, who saw her a lot, didn't see the weight loss in the same way that my sister and other people who visited her periodically, because they had to work or what have you, they could see there was something seriously wrong. And I guess we were just too close. And she would want you to remember her for the good times, for get out of the back seat. When we used to daydream about what are we going to do when the publisher's clearinghouse, and we'd buy a car, and I never got the window, and so we'd start arguing, right, Jack, remember that? And we'd argue about a car that never existed, and finally she'd go, get out of the back seat, kids. She remember her for those times and the good times, and try not to dwell on those horrific notes she would send when she was in a psychotic episode, and for not being there for you when she couldn't be, because she surely would have been if she could have been. So hold those memories close, because you carry her spirit as long as any of you are alive and any of the grandchildren. There's a piece of my mother in you. Carry it and be proud of that. And don't be afraid to admit if you have problems and you need to address them, psychiatric problems, because it runs in our family. And look at your children. I'm being serious here. It runs in the family. Don't be afraid to say, I think I need some help, because there are people out there to talk to. You can always call Dad. And Dad and I are available twice a week. If you want to go to the Longhorn. Enough said. I loved my mom, and I think all of you did too, otherwise you wouldn't be here right now. Anything? Any questions? Thank you. I love you, Mom.
It's good to have those memories and to remember the times when you were able to laugh and have fun. And certainly those are the things that you do want to remember. Because as you take some of the traits that she obviously gave to you kids, these are good traits. And keep them with you. And in that way, she stays alive. And certainly would want you all to remember that. Barbara wrote this following that she wanted read. It goes, "Today is a good day for a new beginning, a new life, a new sun, and a fresh start. Hold it with strength and relaxation. Caress it with care and thoughtfulness. Let this be the day to look at ourselves, to think and feel, I love you. I'm looking for a new strength to make my way easier for tomorrow. Life is grand, vital, and smiling. I care about living on a higher plane, yet down to earth, hugging myself, loving my own care, and accepting the smiles and encouragement from others." I would say to you this morning, as we come to the conclusion of this service, to remember the words of Jesus, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And as we come to the end of the service, we're going to now listen to O Holy Night. Thank you.
Goodbye, Bubsy.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may his countenance be lifted up unto you and give you peace. Amen.
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 Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, services will now continue at Hillside Cemetery in Westford. And I'd ask the people in the back of the room who would just like to go up the center aisle, just pass by the casket, and proceed out to our cars as we go on procession. The gentleman acting as pallbearers, once we get to the cemetery, we'll take care of things here. Once we get to the cemetery, just come immediately up the, to the hearse. And at the cemetery, there's only, we have to park on the street on Depot Road because there's only one driveway into the cemetery, and it's a dead-end street, so we can't take any cars into the cemetery. So as soon as we park, the pallbearers come right up to the hearse door. So starting in the back of the room, thank you.